Biz Scoops is proudly produced by News Scoop.
Good day to you and welcome to Biz Scoops for business news, local and international. I'm Barry Murray. On today's show, South Africa could receive a credit rating upgrade from S&P, and the Chinese automaker Changan has officially entered the South African market. The economist Waldo Krichel talks about why it's such good news that South Africa was removed from the Financial Action Task Force grey list. In international business news, Asian stocks plunged this morning. In investment news, Celsi heads for the JSE main board, and will also check in with Chris Hutting from the Center for Risk Analysis to talk about, among other aspects, a survey by Afrobarometer and the risk of biosecurity for the local economy.
A look now at local business news.
Bank of America says South Africa could receive a credit rating upgrade from S&P in November if the government of national unity remains stable. The bank cites improved growth prospects and falling debt levels as key factors. S&P currently rates South Africa at BB- with a stable outlook, but says reforms could warrant an upgrade. The Bank of America report follows the government of national unity's recent summit, where leaders reaffirmed their unity. However, analysts warn that political uncertainty, poor fiscal management, and structural problems in energy and logistics still pose major risks. According to the G20 report on global inequality, the world's richest 1% captured 41% of new wealth between 2000 and 2024. The bottom half gained just 1%. The report commissioned by President Ramaphosa highlights the global inequality crisis, its threat to democracy, and the need for taxation to multinationals and the ultra-wealthy. It calls for an independent international panel to monitor inequality and recommends policy reforms, including progressive taxation, pro-worker regulation, and international cooperation. Experts warn that successive crises have intensified poverty and inequality worldwide. And the Chinese automaker Changan has officially entered the South African market through a partnership with Jamil Motors South Africa. The brand launched with five models. Changan, one of China's largest car manufacturers, the company says the move marks its return after exiting the country in 2012. The general manager of Jamil Motors South Africa, Marina Sventer, says the brand aims to redefine quality and value in the local market. We now have the president of the Economic Society of South Africa, Professor Waldo Krichel, on the line with us. Waldo, why is it such good news that we were told South Africa has been removed from the Financial Action Task Force's grey list?
If you're looking for a reason to be optimistic, there's one piece of good economic news that may help. South Africa has been removed from the FATF grey list. We were placed on the list in February 2023 because there were shortcomings in the systems meant to combat money laundering and the financing of terrorism. An action plan with 22 items were compiled that South African authorities such as the National Treasury, SARS, the Reserve Bank, the Police Service and the Hawks had to address. The cause of the gaps in the system was the state capture era and the weakening of law enforcement agencies. South Africa will now be evaluated against certain outcomes, specifically more investigations and prosecutions of money laundering. The positive economic news is that being on the grey list came with costs for businesses. Companies that trade internationally faced higher transaction costs and compliance fees, which will no longer be the case. They will also now have easier access to trade finance and credit. Without the grey list stigma, our bond and equity markets will appear more attractive to foreign investors, and that's good news for the rand. The other good news is that this shows that it is possible for government agencies to cooperate and implement reforms. Now we just need to do it again at Eskom, Transnet and the municipalities.
Thanks very much, Professor Waldo Krichel, President of the Economic Society of South Africa. He's also an economics associate at the Northwest University's Business School. If you'd like to hear more from Prof. Krichel, you can listen to his daily podcast called The Economic Minute on Spotify or Anchor FM.
Ons kyk nou na sakenies op die internasionale front.
Asian stocks plunged this morning following a tech-led sell-off on Wall Street, with Tokyo's Nikkei falling 4.6% and South Korea's market down as much as 6.2%. MSCI's Asia-Pacific index outside Japan was down 1.2% over two sessions, the biggest drop since April. SoftBank shares fell over 10%, while Planta and Nvidia also saw sharp declines amid concerns over stretched valuations. Chinese markets remained steady, the yen strengthened slightly, and and US Treasury yields edged lower. Bitcoin also dipped below $100,000 before recovering slightly.
Coming up next, our investment segment delves into the world of finance and wealth building.
South Sea has announced plans to list all of its issued ordinary shares on the JSE main board as part of its initial public offering. The mobile operator will offer existing shares held by Blue Label's subsidiary, the prepaid company, through a private placement to qualified investments. CEO George Mendes says the listing will streamline the company's balance sheet, boost growth, and strengthen its market position. The offer aims to raise about 7.7 billion rand, with funds used to settle debt and support Blue Label shareholder dividends. Before we say goodbye, we're joined today by the head of policy analysis at the Center for Risk Analysis, Chris Hutting. Chris, thanks for joining us. The latest survey by Afrobarometer, a pan-African non-partisan research network, shows that there is growing support for military rule in South Africa. What does this mean for the country?
The latest survey by Afrobarometer finds that support for military rule in South Africa rose from 28% in 2022 to 49% in 2025. However, 42% of respondents opposed a military takeover and 49% believed democracy was preferable to other government systems. Now, these results should not be misinterpreted as a desire on the part of South Africans to give up their hard-won democratic freedoms wholesale. Instead, it is an expression of frustration with limited socioeconomic progress and a hankering for more effective leadership. South Africans want prolonged government failures in economic growth, job creation, clean governance, and the provision of basic services to be addressed. The longer this is not done, the more their dissatisfaction places at risk government of national unity's legitimacy as a vehicle for reform. South Africa's democracy faces no immediate threat of a coup. However, growing voter unhappiness will find other outlets, including support for radical and populist parties, as well as ongoing social protests and occasional flare-ups of violent interest.
The country still battles with foot and mouth disease, as well as other animal diseases. What is the risk of poor biosecurity to South Africa's economy?
As of mid-October, South Africa was dealing with 274 unresolved outbreaks of foot and mouth disease across five provinces. The disease is a highly contagious viral illness affecting livestock like cattle, sheep, goats, and pigs. Should South Africa fail to gain an adequate handle on the outbreaks, the country's farmers and meat exporters could face meat export bans by other countries, along with rising costs incurred in preventing and managing outbreaks as herds are culled and farmers' profits shrink, increasing their own financial pressures and threatening their commercial viability. Further down the line, higher costs are passed on to consumers in the form of higher prices.
There is an uneasy trade truce between the US and China. Can this have any significant impact on the local and global economy?
The recent effective truce agreed between the United States and China will be relatively short-lived because both economies continue to de-link from each other wherever possible and are trying to establish their own respective trade, investment, and other ecosystems. Nonetheless, the positive upside of the truce is more stability in global markets and global trade. This is generally positive in the short to medium term. Longer term, we might see a resumption of higher tensions and volatility as the two global powers jostle for position and try to force other countries to link with their economies exclusively.
And that was Chris Hunting for the Center for Risk Analysis. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next week with more business news, local and international, on Biz Scoops. I'm Barry Murray. Goodbye.
And this was another edition of Biz Scoops, proudly produced by News Scoop.